On Monday's front page, the protesters in Egypt say they'll keep up the pressure on President Hosni Mubarak. Vice President Omar Suleiman met with the Muslim Brotherhood and offered new concessions. AOL is buying the Huffington Post. The deal will give AOL a major presence in journalism as it becomes more and more dependent on online advertising. And wealthy donors are pushing for change in Catholic schools. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says leaders of the Egyptian democracy movement are promising to step up the pressure for President Hosni Mubarak's resignation. This came as Mubarak's government tried to portray itself as taking part in American-approved negotiations to end the uprising. Vice President Omar Suleiman met with 50 opposition figures, including two representatives from the Muslim Brotherhood. The meeting became another sticking point after Suleiman released a statement saying they had reached a consensus on a path to reform. Protest leaders said they hadn't. Some of the protesters' sharpest anger has been directed at steel tycoon Ahmed Ez. He's a ruling party insider and confidant of Mubarak's son Gamal. For years, Ez has been at the center of money, politics, and power. In the last 2 weeks, his world has come undone. The old guard is treating him as a liability, his assets have been frozen, and he's under investigation on suspicion of corruption, something he's denied in the past. Also on Monday's front page, AOL is buying the Huffington Post. That's the news and opinion site co-founded by left-leaning celebrity blogger Arianna Huffington. The deal is AOL's biggest bet yet on reshaping its business, which is shrinking as subscriptions for dial-up service decline. No word on the price. Ms. Huffington says the deal lets her tap into AOL's traffic. It also means speeding up plans for a video version of the Huffington Post. Here in New York, donors to parochial schools are demanding transparency and accountability. Monday's Times says that for the most part, they're getting it. This comes as shrinking enrollment and rising school deficits deepen the church's dependence on longtime benefactors, and they want to see budgets, student reading scores, and principals' job evaluations. There have been tensions between donors and school administrators. At one school in the Bronx, the principal wanted to spend a donor's money on a gym. The principal thought that would attract more students. The donor wanted a new library, but soon closed because enrollment was declining. The Walt Disney Company is seeing opportunity in the cradle. Disney Baby is introducing mothers and their newborns to Disney products even before they leave the hospital. Disney Baby is already in 60% of the maternity hospitals in the U.S. It's giving away 200,000 bodysuits for newborns. It's about to sell them, too, starting at $9.99 apiece. Disney's also rolling out cribs, strollers, and Disney-branded baby food. In eastern Afghanistan, the Taliban is ruling from the shadows. Taliban fighters there have set up the rudiments of a civilian administration. They run schools, collect taxes, and settle civil disputes in Islamic courts. Their gunmen and bomb makers can draw on a support network that includes villagers who pass false information to American soldiers in the area. The Green Bay Packers beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-25 in the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers threw three touchdown passes and Nick Collins returned an interception for another score. The Steelers cut the Packers' lead to 3 points midway through the fourth quarter with a touchdown pass and a two-point conversion. After a Packers field goal, the Steelers would have had to go 87 yards in just under 2 minutes. Inside Monday's Times, drug addicts are going after pharmacies. Their main target is OxyContin. Nationally, there have been more than 1,800 pharmacy robberies in the last 3 years. That has druggists borrowing security measures from banks. One pharmacy put a tiny tracking device on a bottle of drugs. After a robbery, that led police straight to the thief. There are only two candidates, but there are lots of worries. Haiti's presidential election last year was marred by fraud. Now, many Haitians are worried that next month's runoff will be just as rough. Last week, after a visit from Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, election officials put pop music star Michel Martelly on the ballot. They took off a candidate who had government backing. In Britain, there's a crisis of faith in the nation's central banker. Mervyn King is the governor of the Bank of England. Like his peers at the Fed and elsewhere in Europe, he's no longer above criticism. He's been attacked for Britain's economic headaches. He's also been accused of political bias. Worse, at least from his standpoint, his number one proposal is being ignored. He wants big British banks to increase their capital levels well beyond international standards. Monday's Business Day section says eBay is bidding on a new path to growth. It's been losing market share. Now it's building on earlier momentum with mobile shoppers. It also says it'll do better at integrating services it already owns, like the online payment system PayPal. Monday's Arts section says Google is offering art up close. The Google Art Project takes computer users into 17 museums and lets them zero in on works like Botticelli's Birth of Venus, brushstroke by brushstroke. Critic Roberta Smith tried it out. She said it's a work in progress that's full of bugs and sometimes blurry images. She also says it's a mesmerizing, world-expanding tool for self-education. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.